Blog Talk Radio.
New Beginnings is not just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m., and we do thank you for participating. For those who have who are listening by Internet, if you would like to call in, we're an interactive Bible study. You can call in and ask questions to the speaker, and If you would like to call in, the call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. And once you call in, you would type in, "We can begin again," and that would connect you with the station. So we do thank you once again. We are in New York with our scheduled speaker, Pastor Dawn Mixon, who is a phenomenal speaker and who always has a word from the Lord. So we're going to move on over into Long Island with Pastor Dawn Mixon and let God work through her. Pastor Mixon, are you there?
Yes, God bless you, Elder Clay. Pray and hope that everyone is doing well on today. Please call someone and let them know that we are on the line on tonight. Please contact all of those who may have been missing some of the good word that the Lord is sharing with us to bless the people of God. We pray and hope that all of you are doing well on today. Please mute your phones. Please mute your phones if you're on the line. Please mute your phones at this time. I will open the line a little bit later, but please mute your phones. We are going to be going to a different passage of scripture, maybe for some. As my mentor, Dr. James Sturdivant, says, there is no new Bible, but there must be fresh revelation. And so we are going to go to Proverbs, the 17th chapter. And we're going to just peruse through this chapter. I want to try to get through the whole thing, but we believe that God has something to say to us on tonight. So, again, please call someone. Let them know that Pastor Dawn Mixon is on the line, and we have a word of the Lord for you on today. Again, we are going to be in Proverbs 17. Our Father and our God, we thank you on today. We thank you for the opportunity to bring a word from the Lord to those who are listening. We pray, oh God, that we are not just hearers of this word, but we pray to God that you make us doers of the word. God, we need you now more than we've ever needed you before. God, we cannot live, we cannot breathe, we cannot function without you. And so we thank you for always making your presence known. You let us know that greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. And so we're ever so grateful that you promised that you would never leave us nor forsake us. And so we ask God today, as we go forth in the word of the Lord today, that someone will be able to grasp something and that they'll take hold of it and that they may share it with someone else on today. All right, we are in Proverbs 17, and the Proverbs is a collection of moral and philosophical great amounts of wide range of subjects, and it's presented in a poetic form. And so when you read the Proverbs, you'll find that this is done in somewhat of a poetic form from the writer. This book sets forth the philosophy of practical life. It is the sign to us that the Bible does not despise common sense or any discretion. And so it is impressed upon us in the most foreseeable manner that we value and the intelligence and prudence of good education. In other words, it is good for us to have great education and learn as much as we can learn. But we have to know that even though we have great education, if we don't apply common sense, we'll find ourselves well educated but lack wisdom. And I find that there are many people who are well-educated but lack wisdom. And there are people who may not be as educated but have such great wisdom. And so we cannot base our wisdom upon our education, because you'll find people who have great wisdom, I mean great education, but no common sense whatsoever. And so, and vice versa. So we want to make sure that we have a balanced life, and we want to make sure that we have an understanding of what God wants us to apply. Even in the word of the Lord, some things are just, you don't need a great revelation for. Some things are just common sense. Some things you just will find out as you go forth, the difference between right and the difference between wrong. And so my subject for tonight is what wise men know and what foolish men often reject. What wise men know and what foolish men often reject. When we talk about men or man, we're talking about mankind, the species of mankind. And so this is male and female when we are talking about mankind. So we're going to Proverbs 17, and we're going to start reading at verse 1. And this particular, as I said, the Proverbs is given to us in a philosophical, poetic form. And so it's giving us just different things that the writer is letting us know concerning what we need to understand when it comes to wisdom and when it comes to just common sense in general. So the first verse says in Proverbs 17, it is better to have nothing but a dry piece of bread to eat in peace than to have a whole house full of food with everyone arguing. If my Bible sounds different to you, it's because I'm reading out of what is called the ERV, which is the easy-to-read version. So I just want to kind of break down each verse. We're going to try to get as much as we can through this. Again, I'm going to read, it is better to have nothing but a dry piece of bread to eat in peace than a whole house full of food with everyone arguing. Let's just think about that. We got holidays coming up, and during the time of the holidays, there are times we have to understand that there are those, even though we're family, all family does not get along. And mm-hmm. so what the scripture is saying is that sometimes it's just good to have a morsel of something than have a whole full table of food and sit amongst people who are going to just do anything but argue at that time. And what I will tell you is that there is oftentimes you can have your food placed before you, but you can't even eat your food in peace at times because of arguments breaking out or things that just happen on a day-to-day basis, where you just want peace. Sometimes when people go home after dealing with a long day, they just want to go home and just have peace in their home. And so it is very important that we understand that we as people have to allow ourselves to understand that we have different ones that come into our lives, but it should not be to the point where we're all in an argumentative state where we can't even have peace when we break bread. Verse 2 says, a smart servant will gain control over his master's foolish son. He will be treated like a son and get a share of the inheritance. I think I was just talking about this maybe last week. I was sharing with some individuals where when we were growing up, you know, we had we lived a lifestyle where everybody was allowed to reprimand your child. We were raised, as they said, the village raised your family, and those who were close to your parents, if they saw you doing something that you should not be doing, or anything that was out of order, they would reprimand you, and depending on how close they were, they would spank you, then tell your parents. And then they would reprimand you and spank you again because it was important that we raised our children in a manner of how to act when they're outside of the home. If you're not going to do it in the home, definitely don't do it outside of the home. There are many of you who may be listening on tonight who may have received the speech from your mother before you got into the store. What you were to do and what you were not supposed to do when we get in this store. Don't ask for anything. Stay close to me. Make sure that you don't put extra stuff in my basket. Make sure you don't run around the store. Do not act what they said a fool in this store. And I had a mother. She didn't have to spank me right away. I learned by the look. Anybody that may be listening on today where your parents just had that look and you knew what that look meant, there was no explanation needed. You didn't have to sit down and talk and have sit in time out. My time out was looking at my mother and seeing the look on her face, knowing what that meant. When I get you into a private place, you're going to learn. So it is very important that we live in a day where we can bring that back. And what I mean by bring that back is that when we raise our children together, because there are so many things that are happening in our world, there has to be an impartation in our children of what they can do, what they should not do. And even when they get older, they'll have an understanding with what things are going on in our life today. Just dealing with maybe them driving down the car, police stopping them, just interacting with just different cultures, that there are certain things we can and cannot do. And we want to make sure that our children know their understanding what they were living in. All right, verse 3. It says, fire is used to make gold and silver pure, but a person's heart is made pure by the Lord. In other words, the Lord, when we, I also shared this not too long ago, how deep is your love? How deep is your love? That was the title of my message on last Sunday. And the reason why I asked that question is because we use love so loosely, not realizing that God is love. And there's nothing that we can do without the love of God. The Bible lets us know that even if we decide to give our body to be burned, and we do this without God, without God being the main factor of why we're doing to sacrifice in any order of our life, if we do what we do and don't have God behind it, it means nothing. It is a sounding brass tinkling cymbal. It's a bunch of noise that serves no purpose. So whatever I do, I do because I have God within me. And I brought that out because a lot of times we do, there are many people who live a moral lifestyle but don't believe in God. And it's hard for me to understand how you can do things in love but don't love God when God is love. And so we've got to understand that whatever purpose we do, we have to must make sure we do it out of from the heart of God. And so the only thing that makes us pure, what makes our hearts pure, is our hearts are made pure by God and by the Lord. And sometimes God allows us to go through things in life, feel like it's putting us through the fire. And what happens is that we learn from experience. Even the writer here, a lot of things that he's talking about it because there may be experiences that he has had. And so we want to make sure that we have an understanding that we have our lives well-rounded. It's not enough just to be educated, but it has to have some common sense with it. We have to learn how to love one another. And the only reason or how we learn to love one another is when God purifies our heart. Amen? So verse 4 says, people who do evil listen to evil ideas. Liars listen to liars. I'm going to say this one again. People who do evil listen to evil ideas. Liars listen to liars. We're living in a day that we have an understanding that birds of a feather flock together. That has not changed from day one. And so there are so much evil that is taking place in our world. It's almost to the point I don't even watch the news because I can't remember the last good deed that really has happened that the media has even brought out. Because all we see is the evil doings of people. We're listening to people who are lying before our very eyes and are getting away with it. They sit among liars and they listen to liars. They plot and they do things because it benefits them. And so I want us to understand that, you know, we're looking at a day where we're seeing things for what they are, and there it seems as if nothing is being done about it. But God is a God that has an understanding that we have an understanding that God is a God that even though it looks like the enemy is getting away with the thing, the truth is he's getting away with nothing. But we have to make sure that we are in a place where we are in a place where we do godly things and understand the purpose and understand the ordained footsteps that God has for us. And so there are things that we have to do in Christendom that are in the will of God or are God's way. And we can't do things our way and just still think that we can still make it to heaven. We cannot sit and listen to evil things and get evil ideas, act out on them, continue to lie and listen to liars, and think we still get to heaven. The Bible lets us know that the liar will not tarry in his fight. In other words, he's not going to give you a chance to even explain yourself, because if you are a liar and you continue to lie and you do not get delivered from lying, he already knows what you're getting ready to say out your mouth is an untruth. So don't even bother trying to explain it to me. You can just go and have your way. He said, a liar will not tarry in my sight. And so we have to be careful, even in these areas, who we listen to, what we sit down, what kind of ideas are being infiltrated into us. Because if we're not careful, we will adopt ourselves into the atmosphere that we're in. All right? Verse 5 talks about whoever makes fun of beggars insults their maker. Whoever laughs at someone else, trouble will be punished. I'm learning by even looking at this verse, bullies don't just end in school. They don't just stop in elementary school. They don't just stop in high school, college. Bullies go through your life. There are people, they may have different ways of doing it, but bullies you will encounter in every facet of your life, in every age group of your life. Now, what we see it as in the elementary stage, we call them bullies. When we get older and we get around our peers, we get pressured by our peers to do things that we don't normally, that is out of our character. And if we're not a strong individual, we'll find ourselves just going with the flow because we're pressured, because we don't have enough strength within ourselves to stand up for ourselves. Now, there are those who are, they have very strong-minded people. Then there are those who just don't want to hurt people, so they'll go with the flow because they don't want to be the odd one out. But we are coming in a day where you cannot allow bullying, not only in when you were in your childhood, but you can't even allow folks to bully you in church. I find that there are folks who are trying to bully in church, especially those who are in leadership. They try to use their tithes and offerings to try to bully you into what kind of message you ought to preach, or get them to go with the way you want them to go. I think I had just did a shared a word that I saw on Facebook that was just really, really awesome. And it said, preach the truth, whether it fills a room or whether it clears it.
Yes.
That was so powerful to me, because oftentimes we want to preach a word that everybody's going to get a dance off of. We want to preach a word that will bring in people. But if we're bringing in people who are not willing to change, we're still sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. So, in other words, we're bringing in people that want to hear their tickling were tickling their ears. They're itching ears, and they want to hear what they want to hear, but they're not listening to what's going to make them live right. And so I find that a lot of our churches are becoming empty in areas where people don't want to hear the truth. They want to hear what's going to make them feel better. We got to get to the place where we got to, if we want real change to take place in our life, I got to give you the truth. I can't give you what is going to make you feel good. If you want that, then you need to go speak to listen to a motivational speaker. But if you want to hear and get your life right with God, I'm going to tell you, you ain't going to make it to heaven as a liar. You're not going to make it to heaven as a backbiter. There's some things that we got to get our life right. And if we don't get our life right, we have our choices of where we're going to go. But no, don't nobody want to hear that. They don't want to hear the truth. They want to hear whatever makes them feel good. And the Bible does not always make you feel good. When correction comes, correction does not make you feel good. It didn't make me feel good when my mother was correcting me, but I learned from it. All right? Verse number six says, grandchildren are the pride and joy of old age, and children take great pride in their parents. Now, I am a grandmother of four grandchildren. I have four grandsons, and I fought my daughter with each child she had. And that was before I read this particular verse, and now I am the proudest grandmother you'll ever see. You know, back in the day, we had people would pull out their wallets, and they'll all the pictures of the grandchildren will fall out, pictures of their children, and they just got a line of just pictures of their kids and their school kids, school pictures. Now we're a little bit more upgraded on everything, so we pull out our cell phones and we go into our photos and we just, you know, swipe left. And we showing our grandchildren, you know, that's when you know you have met a proud grandparent, because they are the joy of their life. And so we are living in a day where now children are against their parents, and parents are against their children. There are a lot of people who do not have not had a great home life. And people don't really understand, if you've had your mother and your father and you've had a great home life, you know, we think that everybody was raised the way we were. I remember thinking that everybody's children, everybody went to church. And so when I encountered people who didn't live the same lifestyle I lived, their parents never took them to church, or they didn't know anything about God, it was bewildering to me, because I thought everybody knew what I knew. And you'll find out that people don't know. And so when you have great parents, you have to understand that you have to love on them. But the Bible lets us know that we have to also understand that we still have to obey and love our parents so that our days are full. But at the same time, use common sense, because there are some people whose parents have mistreated them and have abused them, and that's hard to love, and it's hard to obey somebody when they're telling you something to do wrong. But one thing I realize is that God is a God that will put people in your life. He'll place people in your life that will give you instruction that you need. All right, verse 7 says, you wouldn't expect to hear a fine speech from a fool, and you shouldn't expect lies from a ruler. I have to go to my government on this one right here, because I'm just not understanding. I'm not understanding a lot of things that I see, and you know, I have to ask myself, is this that I don't have enough education, or is my common sense not working? Because when I see the things that we are encountering and we're seeing in government, it comes to this scripture, I can't expect a fine speech from a fool, and I shouldn't expect lies from my ruler. I shouldn't expect that, but I find myself in a place where I am seeing and hearing untruth. I'm not hearing great speeches that will benefit the nation, and so you know, and I'm not one to cover things up and act like things are not in existence, because a lot of times we think if we ignore a thing, that it will just go away. You ignoring a thing does not go away. Sometimes it causes a greater increase. And so I will tell you, I'm not a person who is in a political form, that I do what I do. I preach. I'm not in a political. And, you know, a lot of times they try to intermingle us preachers as politicians. All preachers don't dabble in politics. But I know that I listen. So when I do go out there and vote, it is very important that you do vote and understand that the rulers of this land, we have to be ever so careful of who we place as rulers. We have to even go to God. We have to go to God to say, God, who do you want us to have in office? Because a lot of times we go with the majority, but we need to ask God, because Israel wanted a leader. They wanted somebody because they wanted what everybody else had. And they didn't realize that God was ruling their lives, but that wasn't enough for them. They wanted somebody they could look upon. They wanted somebody they could see. And they turned away from God because they wanted something that they could see tangibly. And so when I look at this world, I look at God first before I look at the television, because I realize that it doesn't matter who is in office, God is still in control. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how bad it seems. God is still in control. And so we may be facing rulers in office, in every facet of office who are not telling truth, who are speaking things to make us feel like they're doing the right thing. But the truth is, God has the last say. Verse 8 talks about some people think a bribe is like a lucky charm, and it seems to work wherever they go. There are people who really will still take bribes, and let's talk about it. On their job, different things, and you know what? What ends up happening is when we take things to benefit ourselves, that is going to cause an issue for someone else's life. I've learned that we have to get to a point in our lives that whenever we do something, if it's not going to benefit those who are around me and it's going to cause problems or cause havoc in the life of others, but I'm benefiting from it, but I stepped on somebody else to get what I have, that's a problem. That's a problem. I have to reevaluate my life and reevaluate my character. All right? Verse 9 talks about forgive. Forgive someone and you will strengthen your friendship. Now, I need y'all to listen to this clearly. Forgive someone and you will strengthen your friendship. Keep reminding them and you will destroy it. I'm going to say this again because there's something attached to this verse that a lot of people use all the time. Forgive someone and you will strengthen your friendship. Keep reminding them and you will destroy it. What is that? Okay, I forgive you, but I'm not going to forget. I forgive you, but I won't forget. But can I tell the truth in here? Because if I forgive you, I should be able to let it go and forget about it. Because when I say to you, I forgive, but I can't forget, when I don't forget, it brings back the memory of what I said I forgive you for. And because I have not forgotten or I have not allowed it to let it go, it still festers in me. And I'm still feeling some kind of way, even though I said I forgive you. So forgiveness is not real forgiveness. I'm forgiving you up to a certain point because I have not forgotten. And as long as I haven't forgotten, I allow that thing to come in and surface back up. And what ends up happening is that I say I forgive you, but I keep reminding you. Then you didn't forgive me. If you haven't let it go, if you keep bringing back up what was done, you have not forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does, it causes it causes you to be in a place where, if you kindly remind me, it will destroy what I've forgiven. So what I say I've done, I really have not done. All right? Verse 10, smart people learn more from a single correction than fools learn from 100 beatings. Oh, my God. This is where I kind of get this particular subject from, what wise men know and what foolish men often reject. Listen, you got some folks, you only have to correct them one time. I'm that person. You tell me one time, I don't have to get a spanking again. You can tell me one time that if you touch the fire, you're going to get burnt. If I watch somebody else touch fire and they get burnt and I watch their reaction, I'm not going to go touch fire. Why? Because you've shown me this is not a good idea. That's somebody who got common sense. A person who got common sense says to themselves, okay, no, yeah, I've learned a lesson from this one single correction. But you got that one person that will keep going and keep going and keep going, and they will get 100 beatings until they get it. And sometimes they don't get it because they're the type of people who live life on the edge. They want to take every risk that they can take because they live that, what I say, a cartoon life. And what I mean by a cartoon life, they think that they can do any kind of thing and they're not going to die from it. I can jump off the bridge because I saw Bugs Bunny do it, but I'm going to get back up because the mentality of the individual is that, okay, it's not going to hurt me because I'm not everybody. And I think that at some point in time, as we were growing up, we would say things where our parents were trying to give us lessons about not going down certain roads in our life. We didn't listen to them because we said, I am not you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened to you, but it's not going to happen to me. We're different people. I heard this from, I said it myself. My daughter said the same thing. And I said, you know, there's some things that are inevitable. Some things are just going to happen. And watch this. And if you have my genetics, if you have my genes, some things are going to happen whether you want them to happen or not.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So we've got to learn from these parables that the writer is giving us to understand. Okay, verse 11. Those who are evil only want to cause trouble, and that is the honest truth. Evil people just want trouble.
Yeah.
And in the end, punishment without mercy will be sent to them. So we've got to let's learn how to let God give the punishment to the evildoer. I'm going to say that again. Let's learn how to let God give the punishment to the evildoer, because I've learned that when I try to punish somebody who has done me wrong, I'm very limited in what I can do. You know, we can get into the physical, but they haven't learned a lesson. But when God jumps in, when God gets that individual, know for sure that that individual has been gotten. And I'm sure that is not the correct grammar, but that's how I felt like saying it, because that is the honest truth. All right? Let's look at verse 12. It is better to meet a bear robbed of her cub than a fool who is busy doing foolish things. Okay. Now, the one thing you don't want to encounter is whether it be a bear, whether it be a lion, whether it be a mother who lives down on 40th Street, who does not have their children that have been taken away from them. That is one of the hardest things to deal with, is someone who can't find their children or knows somebody has taken their children away from or done their children some harm. But the Bible says it is better to meet them than to deal with a fool who's busy doing foolish things. Why? Because foolish people will get you in stuff that you don't even know how you got there or how you're going to get out of it. And foolish people do foolish things. And so the Bible here is just giving you different ideas and understandings of where we think one thing is a bad situation. When we encounter other things that don't seem so bad, we'll find out in the long run it ends up hurting us more than facing someone who is wants to react in anger because of what they lost. All right, verse 13. If you do wrong to those who were good to you, you will have trouble the rest of your life. This is the law of exchange. This verse right here is telling you the law of exchange. In other words, it's telling you what goes around comes around.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's telling you it's going to come back to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And a lot of times we think that when that scripture is talking about us reaping what we sow, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running down, we think it's only the good things that we are going to reap. Oh, no, 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 no. You're going to reap some things that you put out there. And then what gets me, Elder Quay, is that there are a lot of people who put things out there and they forget what they've done. And when they get it back from the law of exchange, they can't understand why this is happening in their life. Well, sometimes you got to go back to the time when you've done people wrong, and they are seeds that you sow. Watch this. And a lot of times we think seeds, when it comes to things that happen to people, we have the expectancy that that seed is going to grow, and it's going to grow, have miracle grow, and things are going to happen to them right overnight. You're going to get yours, you say. You're going to get yours. But we don't realize they may not get theirs until way down the line. Watch it, and we may never see what
That's
happens
right.
to them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the law of exchange. You cannot sow a seed, and that seed does not come back to you. So if I plant collard greens, I cannot expect carrots. So for some reason, we think when we sow evil doings, we're supposed to get back prosperity. Doesn't work like that. So we have to be ever so careful on the things that we sow. All right? Bible says in verse 14, and I'm getting ready to open it up because I'm going to finish this up next month, and we're going to stop at verse 14 because I want to open up some things here for y'all to come back and give me some feedback with. Verse 14 says, the start of an argument is like a small leak in a dam. Stop it before a big fight breaks out. I'm going to say that again because I know this is to be true, whether we be at work, whether we be at church, whether we be at family reunions. Oh, my God. We will allow a small leak to fester, and what ends up happening, we get into a small argument, and it's like a small leak, like the Bible says. And it's saying stop it before a big fight breaks out. In other words, plug it up. Deal with it. And a lot of times, this is another thing that we do. We feel like if we ignore it, the leak will go away. It's just like if you got pipes and you got a leak underneath your pipe, underneath your sink or whatever, that don't just go away. That leak stays there until somebody deals with the leak. And watch this. What ends up happening, the leak becomes greater. And if you're not careful and if you don't put the leak or take care of the leak properly, it'll leak somewhere else. Oh, that's a word right there. Let me help y'all tonight. Because when you think that you've taken care of it, you talk to one person and you dealt with that one person, you said, I done sealed that leak up, you'll find out that water always finds another way of escape. So when we deal with people and they're running their mouths and they're doing this and they're doing that, know just because you plugged up one leak, don't think that the leak won't come out somewhere else. You've got to stop it, nip it in the bud, let it go. And let people know. And another thing is that when I dealt with it, don't let nobody bring that leak back up. Because what people will do is they will try to reopen up the leak you just fixed. So I'm going to open up the line. And if you want to share with any of these things that we've dealt with from verses 1 through 14, I'm going to open it up to you because the writer is here, is giving us so much information that we need to apply to our lives. And a lot of times It's the simple thing. Just stuff like that we need to hear that we ignore, that it's in poetic form, but the poetic form that he's given us is just like common sense that we don't take the time to listen to. So I'm going to open up the lines, and we got about 15 minutes, and anybody that wants to open up something and that they want to share would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Open up your lines. Open up your lines.
Mm-hmm. All the mics open.
The writer Solomon dealt with having peace at your table. He dealt with learning how to train up our children, whether they're ours or not, allowing God to give us a pure heart. Talked about the wicked doer as far as their false lips, their lying, dealing with evil ideas and people who are dealing with their lying tongue. One of the biggest things we dealt with, even the Bible lets us know, dealing with mocking the poor. And when you do these things, you're doing against the creator of those who he created. And so we even do this in our adulthood. And that stuff has got to stop, how we mistreat people, especially people who are unfortunate and don't have. If anything, we should be esteeming our sisters and brothers higher than ourselves. And that the Bible lets us know to do so. If you see someone who is falling and they don't have anything and they're on their left, if you have the means to be a blessing to them, let me tell you something. That great is your reward. Great is your reward.
Yes.
I was looking at a show, and I'm going to give somebody, if somebody wants to say something, please just let me know. I was watching something where this couple, they had ran out of gas or something. And y'all may have heard about it, and this homeless man gave his last $20 to help them out, and they turned around and did a GoFundMe page for them and got millions of dollars and didn't even give it to the man. They gave him a portion of the money, but they didn't give it because their purpose for doing it was so that they could help this man for being so kind to them. Then they turned around and took the money and spent it for themselves.
Wow.
Listen, this is what we're talking about, evil doers. This man gave you his last $20, and then you turn around and get a GoFundMe page, and people were so touched by the story that they gave and gave and gave over $1 million, and they were buying flights, buying cars, buying different things, and they didn't. Listen, if you're going to do something, if you put it out there, you've got to use it for the purpose that you said you're going to use it for.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Because that's evil doing. That's evil doing. You have to do right by what you say. Your word ought to be your bond. If I say this is what this is for, this is what it should be for. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So there are so many things that we can glean from these verses that we've already read and that we've dealt with. Somebody just open up this verse 14 for me. With these arguments, with the small leak that festers and causes fights to break out. I mean, all of us can kind of deal with that in some way or some form that you may have dealt with.
So true.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, good evening. There was something. This is Miles. How's everybody doing this evening?
God bless you. Good
evening. I have something that I would like to share, like a little clarity on. I know you spoke earlier. Truly forgiven, and that's one thing that's wrestling in my spirit about that, and it's something that I teach. I truly teach and believe that there's a difference between forgiveness and trusting. One of the major figures that I followed most of my life was head coach Bill Parcells. When he was coaching the New York Giants, and he went to go coach my favorite team, which is the Dallas Cowboys. And one of the things that he said that I even use today, how many times do you have to get sprayed in the face with that same skunk before you learn that lesson?
Mm-hmm.
Now that skunk could have sprayed me in my face, and I've forgiven it, but I'm not going to forget and go back around that same skunk again to do it again.
Okay,
now, I truly believe I forgive you for what you have done, but you have violated the trust that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And can you help me to understand the difference between what you were saying about truly forgiving? Because if you did it to me before, I'm going to remember that. I don't hold it against you in my heart, but I am going to have reservations to you until I can trust you again.
Mm. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I totally understand that, been there, done that. Just because I forgive you does not mean I now have to associate with you.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And what I say by that is, like I said, if you're dealing with people who continue to have the character that is ungodly, I'm not going to deal with you anyway, but I'm going to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
If I see you,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to say, hey, how you doing? I'm going to love you with the love of the Lord, but that does not mean that we connect in the same circle, because I can forgive you but not trust you. Watch this. I can let it go where it does not fester into my heart. I'm not gonna bring it up every time I see you. There are people that have done things to me that I have honestly let them go. But I don't sit down and break bread with them, because the first thing I saw in this text was, I want to have peace.
Mm-hmm.
I want to have peace. And just because it's not how it's on my part. In other words, my forgiveness has to be on my part.
Correct.
In other words, when I forgive you, I'm letting everything go. Yes, I'm letting everything go. And we're talking about the forgiveness part itself. That doesn't mean that, like you said, I'm not going to let you come around and do it to me again, because then I've learned
mm-hmm.
that's touching the hot stove again.
I was just going to say, that's good.
That's touching the hot stove again, because we've been hearing this over and over again. Maya Angelou said that, you know, when people show you who they are, believe who they are. And I believe
uh-huh.
that I can forgive you, but you don't have to be my best friend.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be my hanging partner.
That's right.
But I forgive you. And see, the thing is, and I hear this all the time, but I find it to be true. Forgiveness is not for the person that you're forgiving. Forgiveness is for you. Because if you don't forgive, it'll fester in your heart, and it becomes. And if y'all come back next month, it even deals with that. It talks about that in this particular scripture. It talks about how sadness and sorrow is like, can cause it. Happiness brings about, is like a medicine, but sadness is like a disease, can cause disease. And people don't realize that when you allow anger, hatred, bitterness, all those things to fester in your life because you won't let it go,
mm-hmm.
it will cause illness to your body. So I let things go, and I let people, and I forgive people because I need to take care of me.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
people are going to do whatever they're going to do. They're going to say what they want to say. You can even forgive them, and they may not even believe you, but you got to know in your heart that I forgive you, and I move
uh-huh.
on. But I'm not going to carry that for the rest of my life. So, yes, I totally understand. There are some people you can forgive, but I'll forget about it. And the reason why I know I can forget about it, because I can still hug you, say I love you, and mean it from my heart.
Yeah.
But yet still not trust you.
Yeah.
Because that don't
yeah.
have nothing to do with my love, my forgiveness, or my heart. It has to deal with your character. And so if your character is shady, I'm not gonna hang around. Like the Bible says, it is better for me to be around a bear robbed of her cub than a fool who is busy doing foolish things. Okay, I'd rather put myself in danger with a bear than deal with somebody who's going to continue to do foolish things, because I know how you are. And so I don't trust you. And since I don't trust you, doesn't mean I don't love you. It just means we can't hang because our characters clash. Okay? So I hope that kind of clarifies some things about that whole forgiveness issue. I really believe that forgiveness is for the individual who is forgiving. That other individual is not necessarily for that individual. And it does not mean that you have to be buddy-buddy, sit down and break bread with them, talk to them on a regular basis. It just means I have to forgive them from the inside out and mean it from my heart. Because if I don't, I have not forgiven.
Amen.
All right? I hope that clears that up for you, though. And I totally agree with that.
You know what? I didn't want to say anything, but Pastor, this word tonight, I mean, everything that I was speaking to someone today, early this morning, we usually pray. She lives in Brooklyn. And the things that you spoke about was just confirmation. I thank God for this word, breaking down these verses. And who's, you know what, even in the influences, you know, how certain people can bully you into doing things. You know, sometimes they won't respect your no, and they want you to do it their way. And, you know, I mean, you taught about so many things that it's just a confirmation. Yes, this has to be a part two. You have to do part two.
We're going to come back to this because I really think if we can break some of the things down to make us better, if we can do things to make us better, it'll make the body or the kingdom of God better. Because we're so busy trying to fix everybody else, if everybody just fixed themselves.
Yeah.
You know,
it'll make the kingdom better.
You know, this gives me another view of why Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't, not that he would trust them, or for them, but him. It was his forgiveness.
Awesome.
Because it always seemed to conflict with me, but it doesn't anymore. That really brought it about. That really gave me an enlightenment.
Yeah, that's a great word that you pulled out as well, because for God to, you know, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, the thing is that they don't, you know, at the time when he was dying for us, he knew we were going to do something else. He knew down the line that the people who were not even before him and in front of him while he's saying these things, they're going to come back. There are going to be some more people born that are going to be untrustworthy. But I am doing this because I love them. I don't love what they do. But I love that soul. And see, that's what we got to understand. Even when we're doing ministry and we're going out in the highways and hedges, we may not like what we see, but we've got to love the soul.
Yeah.
I may not like the drug dealer on the corner because I see what he's done. I don't like the child molester. I don't like that. But I've got to look at the soul. And if I can grab the soul, get the soul, and watch this, what did the Bible say here? I mean, I can always go back and refer to something. The Bible says the fire purifies silver and gold, but a person's heart is made pure by God. If I can grab a soul that is unpure, just like somebody grabbed my soul that was unpure, brought me to Jesus, and I got to the place where God purified my heart. What I once was, I am no longer. So we keep talking about, we keep looking at the untrusted thing. We have to learn that somebody's going to come back and sow, somebody else is going to water, but God is going to give the increase. And a lot of times, I get it. I get it. My job was just to sow into your life the word of Jesus. Somebody came back and watered what I sowed. And then here comes Jesus giving the increase so we can see the beauty of the person of who they really are in their soul, not in their flesh.
Mm-hmm.
We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities, wickedness in high places. So we have to understand there are some folks that are so wicked. There are some people who are going to do evil doing, and there are some things that they're going to do against you. I love the soul, but I hate the flesh.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And one more scripture says, for us forgiven to know who we label with. So, like, I'm not going to touch that fire again. Or I'm going to love that individual, but know who you label with, how far you can go with them. I can love you from a distance. I don't have to put
it.
This was a good word. Excellent.
Amen.
It was excellent.
God bless you. I pray and hope that all of you will come back the third Wednesday, and when we're going to be in November. And so we can just touch bases with this again. Please come and bring your thoughts and your ideas and something that you may have gleaned through the rest of this chapter, or you want to go back to these verses, even read further into these this particular chapter, and just kind of pull out some things, because I want to hear what you have to say. And you brought out some great things from that learning to forgive, but having a hard time to trust, and just different things that I want to hear from you, and we can kind of glean through the word together, and just so that we can give insight to those who are listening. Amen. God bless you, Elder Clay. I'm going to turn it back over to you. I thank you so much for always being a listening ear to us on today. God bless you.
Amen. What a good word. And these are life principles. And for those of you who are listening, we'd like to let you know that you can share this with a friend, go into the archive, and you would type in, Blog Talk Radio. And then after you type in Blog Talk Radio, then type in We Can Begin Again, and you can pull up this message. And it becomes a tool that we talk about planting seeds. So this is good. A wise man know and a foolish often reject. That's a good word, and that is life principle. So we do thank you for this word. For those of you that tuned in, we do thank you. We'll be back next week. Please tune in. We are out of time, and we thank you. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most. May God bless you.
Amen.
Thank you.